Better Leaders, Better Schools, episode number 25.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
As I caught on Twitter that they're doing, a teacher was doing the 12 days of kindness in her class, and I'm like, well, I got to work that into morning announcements. So today's kindness challenge was find someone, deliver a handshake, a high five, or a hug. And I'm talking someone that you've probably never given a high five to, someone you've never given a hug to. So that was our kindness challenge today, and that was probably the real centerpiece of morning announcements for this particular morning.
Hey, this is Daniel Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Better Leaders, are you looking to upgrade your leadership potential? I have another free gift for you. This one is a PDF which I call 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Unlock your leadership potential now for free by texting UNLOCK NOW. That's all one word, no spaces, to 33444. Text UNLOCK NOW to 33444 for your free gift. 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Better Leaders, I need your help. I invest time, creativity, and money to bring you the blog and podcast whose sole purpose is to develop your leadership capacity. I'm asking you to take a more active role in the show. Will you become a sponsor and help me cover the cost of creating, producing, and hosting the blog and podcast? In the show notes, there is a link where it asks you to become a patron of the show. I'm asking you to donate anywhere between $1 to $5 a month to help offset the cost of creating, producing, and publishing Better Leaders, Better Schools. At $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every 60 days. If you have gotten any type of value from this show and would like to invest in Better Leaders, Better Schools, then please click the Patreon link. If you can't financially support the show at this time, then please consider leaving a rating and review, which helps the podcast reach more listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by the book Reclaiming the Classroom by Trenton Goebel. This new book, Reclaiming the Classroom, offers a case for today's teachers to regain control of K-12 education and change the conversation around learning. I know Trenton. He's a great guy who brought us Mastery Connect, and I'm looking forward to checking out this book. You should get it too at reclaimingtheclassroom.com. And now it's time for some five-star reviews. Mark Costas writes, "What a great show! Educators need every resource we can give them. Well done, Daniel." I'm really excited to bring you today's interview, Paul Erickson. I met him on the Lead Up chat, and we've connected. He's a super cool guy, very down to earth. He loves Buffalo Wild Wings. That means he's good with me. Some of the things that I love about this episode, you're going to learn how to build great relationships through two key tips, how being connected has helped his leadership style, why failing to disperse leadership's a key mistake, and the power of taking risks, and so much more. Paul is the proud principal of Union Valley Elementary School in Hutchinson, Kansas. This is Paul's 7th year as a building principal and 12th year in education. Paul has always summed up quality school leadership the same way he summed up quality classroom teaching. If what you do is all about kids and taking them to unprecedented levels of learning, then you can do no wrong. He is passionate about creating and sustaining positive school cultures, maximizing collaborative opportunities for teachers, integrating technology, and helping others harness the power of professional learning networks. Lead Up Now is at the heart of his own PLN. Paul has led staff development on the concepts of tech leadership and professional learning communities. He also has organized and led the Beginning Principals Workshop for the Kansas Association of Elementary School Principals from 2012 to present. In 2014, he was recognized as the Kansas Association of Elementary School Principals National Distinguished Principal. Outside of education, Paul enjoys spending time with family and friends. Paul and his wife, Tasha, have a 3-year-old daughter, Stelly. He's also a big brother via Big Brothers Big Sisters, coaches a 5th grade dodgeball team each year at his school through the local YMCA, and is an incredibly lousy fantasy football player. Just kidding. Put that in there to mess with him a little bit. He's great at fantasy football, and Paul is an excellent interview. glad to bring you his insights into leadership. Paul, since you said yes to this interview, you know, I've been connected with you on Twitter and reading up a little bit on your blog and what you do. This is a very exciting moment for me. So thank you so much for agreeing to the interview.
My privilege, my man.
Paul, what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Well, I entered teaching because of the great role models I had as a kid. Teachers, coaches of mine, they were really like legends to all of us growing up. You know, as I watched those folks in action as a kid, they just always seemed passionate. They seemed to genuinely enjoy their jobs, which we don't see in everybody when we're a kid. And they definitely made a difference. And I like to think that I'm proof of that in that I've entered the profession that they enjoyed for so many years. So I wanted to do the same. And that's why I entered the greatest profession of them all, as Rick DeFore touts teaching nowadays.
That's great. And we're already off the cuff because I love to create questions based on our responses. And I love this idea of enjoying their jobs. And that's something I've always gotten up. I pretty much jump out of bed excited to go to school every day. It's such a fulfilling job. But what is it about what you do that you really enjoy?
No, I enjoy the relationships and the connections I have with people. And I'm talking the little people, the students that we serve every day, as well as the adults. Whether it's cracking a joke with our custodian in the hallway, to sitting down and just chatting with the secretaries and getting caught up on their weekends, to all the hugs, high fives, and handshakes that, you know, I'm graced with on the daily cruising down our hallways from kids. It's just that. It's that feeling every day you come to school and you know that there's a family there,
right,
with you as you do your job and as you prepare kids for life.
Paul, everything I read about being a great leader, they all distill it down to relationships as the key component. You know, do you have any tips or tricks, any hacks in terms of developing great relationships that you've learned over the years?
Well, tips and tricks, I'd say that the things that always help me in establishing relationships with others is one, sense of humor. Everybody loves to laugh, and it's about as basically human as it gets. So laughter and humor certainly help me in developing relationships. But what I guess as I've gotten more seasoned in the game of leadership, I really try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I've made mistakes, and I felt like people have really been gracious with me in the past. And I feel like when you give a little in terms of latitude and forgiveness, you get so much back in return. And you're not going to know that right away. You're not. You're still going to go through that tough time with that person. But later, that small benefit of the doubt that you showed is going to pay huge dividends. And I've learned over the years that's a guarantee. So benefit of the doubt is a biggie to me.
You know, and I've never heard of that, but what you're saying there is pure gold. You give people a little bit of grace, forgiveness, some space to learn from their mistakes. That benefit of the doubt goes a long way. So thank you for sharing that.
You bet.
How would you describe your leadership style, Paul, and how did you develop it?
Well, I'm going to use the word connected, and I know that gets thrown around a lot in 2015. Among school leaders. And sure, I mean connected, as in I connect daily with a professional learning network that feeds me as a learner and as a leader, you know, most notably the Lead Up Chat Tribe. And I think that's how you and I connected in the start, through some of those Lead Up Chat tribesmen and women. However, I also mean connected by the fact that I really work hard to be in the zone with my school in terms of visible leadership efforts. And how I develop that style, it's really being committed to daily learning walks, aka classroom observations. And I'm not talking the formal kind where you sit down and script out feedback to teachers. I'm talking the daily interactions with staff and students in their classrooms. So more of an affirmation period of time. I also stay connected by leading a morning assembly with our students every day. Every day we come together as a family. from 7:55 to 8:05, 8:10-ish, depending on what we have going on that morning. I have students that help me with the assembly every day for student leadership opportunities. And that's huge. Is kids, the kids at this school where I'm at now, they hadn't experienced that in the past. And they talk about morning announcements nonstop. I mean, at 2:45 in the afternoon, they're asking me, hey, can I help with morning announcements tomorrow? They do. They're just, it's.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's highly contagious. So that's a biggie to me in terms of staying connected with our student body. And I just try to never pass up on the opportunity to have a one-on-one with a staff member or student. You have one shot with people most of the time. You blow off a kid once, he's not going to come to you again. You blow off a staff member once when they really need you, they're not going to come to you again. So I just really try to relish those one-on-one opportunities and understand the impact they have on the kids and adults that I serve.
Absolutely. Hey, can we dig in a little bit into these morning announcements, these assemblies that you have daily, which is just, you know, the consistency is great in that. I don't know how you pull that off, but then you said it's contagious as well. Can you paint a picture for the listeners? Like what happens? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What are your goals?
Well, it's old fashioned. It's like a lot of elementary school teachers practice the best practice of morning meetings. Okay. Many of us do those in our classrooms. Well, this is my morning meeting with the whole school. So all teaching staff, and I'm talking certified, classified staff, join us in the gym. I have all the students down there. They sit in grade level groups, and we start off with me just at the beginning of the year. It's setting the tone for the year with an attention getting signal and some procedures and some character traits that we want our students to embody. And just from that point, and the good old lunch menu, recognizing kids for their birthday, Pledge of Allegiance, the weather report. I have a meteorologist in fifth grade who gives the weather every day. He's very, very sharp on that. I've never had a kid take on that role in my morning announcement routine until I came to this school. And little things that I work in, like moving into Christmas break, we're doing the 12 days of kindness. Hmm. I've pulled this from Sigler, hashtag Sigler Learn, Sigler Elementary in, I believe, Plano, Texas. As I caught on Twitter that they're doing, a teacher was doing the 12 days of kindness in her class. And I'm like, well, I got to work that into morning announcements. So today's kindness challenge was find someone, deliver a handshake, a high five, or a hug. And I'm talking someone that you've probably never given a high five to, someone you've never given a hug to. So that was our kindness challenge day. And that was probably the real centerpiece of morning announcements for this particular morning.
Wow. That's incredible. You know, and I've been reading too, just about the power of small acts of kindness. Myself and one group I'm connected to with a bunch of men, we just generated a list of 101 ways that we could just show kindness in 2 to 3 minutes or less. And really, you're having your kids do that at that age, which is incredible. Giving those high fives, those hugs, words of affirmation. I commend you on that. Thank you for doing that. So Paul, we've talked about a few things that have been pretty easy topics. This is one of my favorite questions, and let's just jump right into that. What in your opinion has been your worst leadership mistake, and what have you learned from it?
Okay. My worst leadership mistake has probably been not visibly demonstrating that I trusted teachers in the past. And it's not an act of not being trustworthy per se, but in my early days as a principal, I just tried to do way too much myself, and I failed to disperse leadership to others. And as I've become more seasoned as a leader, I know now that that comes across as a lack of trust. What you're saying when you hog up the leadership, you're saying, I have to do this because I doubt you can. And we have so much group capital in our school and so much leadership potential. It's honestly a malpractice on my part if I hog up all the leadership.
Wow. Knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself as a novice principal?
As a novice principal, I would tell myself to risk a little more and understand that things aren't going to be perfect the first crack at it. And it's a marathon, not a sprint. So if you give a person the benefit of the doubt, give them some time and be patient as they take on a responsibility, you're going to get to that end point. It may not be the path the straight arrow path that you planned on, but you're going to get there in the end, and you're going to be better for it because someone else shared it.
So, Paul, using your own advice, where is something that you would like to take more risks in currently?
I would like to take more risks in, shared leadership is still one, because I'm in a new school. It's my first year at Union Valley Elementary and Bueller Schools in Hutchinson, Kansas. And, you know, you feel in the beginning that you have so much to prove to a new staff that you do hoard a lot of the leadership because you want to be out in the front, prove yourself to them. So that, the shared leadership side of it, and then just I've noticed, I like to think I'm tech savvy and I'm on the up and up, but as I connect with people on Voxer and Twitter, I think I'm almost falling behind. I see all the crazy things going on in some of the other schools and with some of the other principals. I got to get more hands on, like coding, for example.
Right.
I got to get more hands on with that, and maybe even get to the point where I can do some of the teaching of it to our teachers and kids. So that would be that's a risk or a new skill that I'd like to dig into.
Yeah, coding is definitely hot, and in STEM classes, integrating that into schools is definitely a trending topic, if you will, in schools these days. This is a new question I've started to ask guests. What's one class we should add to our schools that currently, though, it's not being offered anywhere in our nation?
Oh, anywhere in our nation. Well, at the elementary school level, you know, and I'm not saying this isn't offered because it certainly might be somewhere, but in the state of Kansas, our new Kansas Ed Commissioner, who he's a risk taker himself, and we're very grateful to have him. It's Dr. Randy Watson from McPherson, Kansas. And he has said he's making a huge push for soft skills and socio-emotional learning. So we have the good old-fashioned guidance lessons, you know, with a school counselor. I would want those soft skill lessons, and we do them in morning announcements all the time. I mean, we have Boys Town Tuesdays where we learn a social skill during morning announcements, but I would like to see that embedded into the regular school day for kids at the elementary school level.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Teaching those soft skills and things like conflict resolution, those types of things with social emotional skills, so invaluable. And you were talking about earlier too, just the investment of almost giving people space and giving them grace, a second chance. That type of class would be definitely an investment into those kids. And as they develop, you know, just be wonderful to see how they mature and what kind of, things, you know, that they could accomplish as a result of the intentionality of teaching a class like social emotional skills.
Yep.
Paul, what sets you apart from other leaders in education? What is your secret sauce?
Well, that was a really tough question to answer because it's awkward to talk about what sets you apart from others. But I guess one mantra that really guides me daily is the notion that people do well if they can. And this is kind of a play on Ross Green's "Kids Do Well If They Can." As I feel like our job as leaders is to help others, kids and big people alike, with the competence and, more importantly, the confidence to succeed. And knowing that and working continuously on putting others in positions of strength and of competence, and then in turn making them more confident in what they do, I think that's what really helps me lead on a daily basis.
How do you avoid distractions and stay focused? I don't know about you, but having a phone on, that sort of thing, or even having email open, I can get sidetracked so easily. And it feels like, you know, just the wheels come off. And I have such high leverageable things that I need to accomplish, but I can get just stuck in my inbox. So what do you do to avoid those distractions and stay focused at work?
Well, I try to avoid distractions as a principal by scripting out a daily and weekly plan, much like I would when I was teaching with lesson planning. I try to plan for which classrooms I'm going to visit on a given day, which individual kids I need to check up on, And in a principal's world, if it's not planned, it will quickly get pushed aside because you're going to be interrupted all day long. And you have to be able to flex and maneuver those interruptions because those interruptions are typically very important as people need you in those urgent times. But to have that plan scripted out to always fall back on keeps me focused. And I put some boundaries in place. I don't close my door to work. I know that might help some folks, but I don't like the look and feel of it. It's not me. So one thing I do during the day is because what's at the heart of who I am as a school leader is being up and about in the building and in classrooms. So I work a lot from classrooms. If I'm in a classroom and doing an observation, if it's a really chilled out class, and we have a lot of them that are just calm, relaxing environments day in, day out, I kick it at the back table and spend an extra 30 minutes working. Get caught up on some email. Maybe I got a Google Doc I'm sharing with someone on a project. Start adding some ideas to it. I probably 2/3 of my work that I accomplish on the day, I do in people's rooms.
Wow.
And I tell the teachers that up front. I don't want them to think that I'm typing 3 pages of notes about them. Because then they'll see, they're like, dude, you're in my room for 45 minutes and all I got was like an 8-word tweet. Yeah, I know. I was doing other things because your classroom is so stinking calm and focused, and I just dialed in. So I do a lot of that. I don't go anywhere in the building with my iPad because you never know where you're going to find a little moment to find a spot to stop and crank out some work.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the book Reclaiming the Classroom by Trenton Goebel. Are you like me? Are you just sick of testing? Do you have that type of fatigue? Well, I have the solution for you. Reclaiming the Classroom, the book by Trenton Goebel, is an in-depth exploration of a political climate that favors high-stakes testing and government mandates over the skillful art of teaching and provides teachers a road back to professionalism, autonomy, and respect. Doesn't that sound nice? Well, it does, and you should get it today at reclaimingtheclassroom.com. This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. The Education Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. For more great education podcasts, visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. And now, back to our show. When you are scripting out your day, is that something that you plan from bell to bell, so to speak, when the kids walk in the door into when they leave?
No, not so much. I have like just categories. I think more like visually and in categorical. So I have like a category that's observations and activities. And so if I'm doing if I'm joining in kindergarten and celebrating the 60th day of school, I put that in that category as well as the classrooms that I'm going to visit. And then I have another category for meetings, whether it's IEPs, PTO, early ed meeting, and then just categories like short-term and long-term goals. And I have that. I print it off for the secretary so they know what I'm always up to. And then I have just a copy saved in Google Docs on my iPad. And so I can refer to it at any time, any place.
So I have a sense that you're very organized at work and you have a good idea of what you want to accomplish each day. How do you protect that balance between work and family and just your life outside of school? I've been a gym rat. I've run and trained for 3 marathons, but this year is just kicking my butt. I don't know what it is. And I've had a hard time to, you know, get in the gym and do those sort of things. Luckily, I'm still connected with my wife. So, you know, I'm not out of the house or sleeping on the couch right now. But, you know, how do you balance those things?
Dude, that'd be a bummer if you got put on the couch over just spending a little too much time on podcasts with school leaders. I mean, I would hope you'd find something more more interesting to pursue and get put in the doghouse over. But no, it's ongoing for me. It really is. Todd Schmidt, a principal out in California, he wrote a blog on this once about how principals balance home and school, and several of us contributed it. And when I read everybody's comments, I'm like, you know, none of us do very well at that. So it's ongoing. A biggie for me though is just not staying at school late. I make it a point to pick up my daughter from daycare right at 5 o'clock. Gotcha. I really try to be there. Just boom, I'm going there because I get to school at 7:30 because That's really enough time. Anything else is going to be there the next day. Yeah, I keep up with Voxer and Twitter and professional learning networks at home or outside of school. But in terms of day-to-day work, it stays at school.
Gotcha. Paul, what do you do for fun? So besides connecting, you know, with teachers, educators, and growing your professional learning network, what is it that you're passionate about outside of education?
Oh man, I'm a sports fanatic. So right now we're closing out college football season, and my favorite team, even though I'm landlocked in Kansas, is the Miami Hurricanes. Okay. I've always been big into the U. So watching a lot of college football, keeping up with the recruiting scene, keeping up with coaching changes. Fantasy football is huge to me. I've always played in a highly competitive league, so that I have to balance home and fantasy football too.
right.
Outside of that, you know, it sounds crazy. I've done some eating contests.
Okay.
I love to work out. I'm passionate about working out, but I'm also passionate about pigging out once in a while.
Yeah.
So I've done some eating contests because when you said what was it? What sets you apart from others in your school? I was going to joke and say, like, I can eat a large pizza in less than 8 minutes. So I'm pretty sure nobody else is pulling that off at an elementary school but me. But, yeah, just different things. I have a big little brother through Big Brothers Big Sisters who's 18, and he's a senior in high school. And going to his sporting events has been a lot of fun for me this year.
Yeah. Quick question about your fantasy football team. Are you in first place?
I am in first place. I am 10-2.
Whoa.
I was 10, I know. I've had a good year. I'm making up for last year. I was bad last year. So, but I'm really slowing down. I have some particular players that have just gotten injuries as of late, such as Rob Gronkowski.
Oh,
Gronkster, man. He's killing me this week.
Killing me too.
But, you know, I got Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones, Tom Brady. So I got some horses.
Definitely.
But they're going to have to go off in 2 weeks when we start playoffs.
Well, Paul, I appreciate that you're doing well in your league. I try to just stay consistent, and in this case, consistently bad. So, unfortunately, I'm not doing too hot in my league.
It's all luck. It is all luck. And I like to think that it's more than that. It's strategy and keeping up with it. But when the injury bug gets you, it hurts.
Definitely. Paul, what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
One book every principal should read, I would say The Principle by Michael Fullon. The reason to read that is, as I dug into this book over the summer, and I read it twice this summer, as a matter of fact, it will just blow your mind as you rethink the principalship.
Hmm.
Transformational leadership, the principal that comes in there and puts a school on his back and carries it to the promised land, that's a myth.
Mm-hmm.
There's no research that supports that type of leadership lasts. Instructional leadership, according to his research, it's overrated as well. There's just not much that comes out of the good old-fashioned cycle of here's your 30-minute formal observation, here's your scripted feedback, let's get together and goal set. The leadership that he promotes in that book is that builds group capital. And that just struck me this summer, and oh my gosh, it is really not you as the leader, it's everybody else. And so when you take on that role as a person who wants to put people in a position to build the group capital of the school, that's when leadership is most impactful. So that's the best book I've ever read about school leadership. It's one I recently read, but it is flat out the best.
We will definitely link that up in the show notes. So if people are interested, they could just click the podcast cover art, click the link there for the principal, and definitely get that book. Who is one person you love to meet, either present or past?
One person. This wasn't in your questions that you sent me.
Surprise.
Dang it. Man, I told you I'm a planner. You can't be doing that to me.
Sorry.
One person that I have yet to meet, but would love to. Well, I tell you this. I've of course met this person, but this person is gone. But I'd like to reconnect with some grandparents that have passed.
Mm-hmm.
I really would, because I had a grandpa that was really near and dear to me for a long time, and I get to think about him from time to time, and it's just, man, if we could have one more talk, tell one more story, one more laugh. It would mean a lot. So,
you know, what's really interesting about this question, I keep expecting people to say, you know, Genghis Khan or Abraham Lincoln, you know, or some just like historical figure. And I've only asked this question twice, but both people that have responded have commented on a family member that's passed. And it just really speaks to me the power of relationships again and love and just, you know, being somebody that is trustworthy that communicates that they care for you. So I really appreciate your answer and what you shared.
Those people are real to us.
Right.
You know what I mean? LeBron James is my favorite basketball player. I follow LeBron since he was in high school. But okay. Will my life be complete without meeting LeBron? Yes, it will. It will. But yeah, so.
No, that's a super point.
Yeah.
Just the idea of authenticity and just being, like you said, a real person, not to take anything away from LeBron James or Genghis Khan, but yeah, just our family members, they're there for us. They know who we are at the deepest level and can love us. And that's a great answer.
And when they're not there, you just, not that you have regrets, but you just know how good it right. was when they were there. You just want to reconnect with that.
So Paul, I know you mentioned how important the iPad is to you and your work and just finding and stealing time when you could get some work done. Is there a tech resource on your iPad or some other tech resource that helps you be very effective at work?
Well, it's not necessarily something that makes me more efficient at work, but and it's nothing new. But Voxer right now to me is probably the go-to app in terms of developing my own capital as I work to build our group capital at school. Through the Lead Up Now Voxer group, I'm pushed daily. The learning I've picked up from the 4 months of belonging to that Voxer group with the incredibly talented crew that we have, it's more than I picked up in 12 years of education, teaching and being a principal, and it's more than $10,000 that I've spent on graduate school. Wow. That's sad but true, and I hear a lot of people say that, and it's just, man, if we could get a PhD through Voxerology, that'd be pretty sweet, because I spend a lot of time on it, because it's just, I'm addicted to the learning that I get out of it.
That's awesome. And so that app is definitely available on the iPhone. Are you aware if it's available on Android?
I would think Voxer is.
Okay.
I can't imagine it not. It's big. I mean, like their Twitter account, I think, had about 80,000 followers. So I think Voxer is pretty pervasive among different devices. Yeah. I mean, you can log into it on your laptop.
Okay.
Through the website.
Gotcha. So we'll link that up in the show notes too, so people could check out Voxer if they're not acquainted with that yet.
Right.
All right. Here's the big question, and you did prepare for it. I did send it to you. You are building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create the school if you're given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building this school?
Okay, so I'm not going to share anything flashy or you know, earth-shattering, but these are the three to me as I thought about this, and it's an excellent question. I want to sit down with our staff and dig into it with them, because I think it'd be really interesting to find out where everybody's mind and heart go with a question like this. But here they are. Okay, white space for teachers and kids. We need to schedule time to unplug from the grind. In my ideal school, we'd behave more like Google than a traditional public school in that regard. We need time to shift gears, regroup, and reflect. And when I work with kids, you know, that get sent to the office, for example, and those kids that are frequent flyers in my world as, you know, a principal that's responsible for discipline, that's what they really need. They just need to unplug. And I see it in adults too. I think we would be happier and more effective if we had time to unplug within our day. So white space for teachers and kids is one. And, you know, I'd also have two teachers in every classroom. And I'm not talking about doing that to reduce class size, as that's relatively insignificant to me personally and according to the research that's out there. I do this because I've seen teachers team teach, and it is incredible. Teachers learn so much from each other, and they're also incredibly supportive of each other in a team teaching, professional learning environment. and the support that they give each other and the professional learning they experience together, man, that's at an all-time high in that type of environment. And teachers who team teach, in my experience, and we've already talked about fun as something being important, they flat out have more fun with kids. They do. And I think they do because they're not isolated. We could all use less isolation in our craft and more support and just more fun and enjoyment. And team teaching, putting teachers together in a team teaching environment would do that. The last one would be career exposure and career learning embedded at a very early level. You know, I see the awesome things high school principals do out there. I'm talking Ryan Jackson at Maplewood High in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, the kids and staff there, the stuff they're doing with codes and drones and the Firestone Automated Center on their campus, that floors me. And gosh, I'm thinking, how can we do that on the elementary level? Because we got kids who, they get put in pegs really, really early. And that's so disappointing to me. So I wish I could turn our elementary school into this like little city where kids are exposed to careers at an early level, almost like apprenticeship experiences. And, you know, we need to do a lot more than dress like a firefighter on career day, okay?
Right.
Or dress like your favorite teacher. Let's get adults in the community in our school and inspire kids at an early age.
What I find so interesting, besides playing dress up, when you put kids in real authentic situations where they have to solve a problem, even at a very young age, you'd be surprised. You'd be floored, like you said about Ryan and the great work he's doing. And just to the listeners, that's episode 3. I interviewed him. You give a kid an authentic situation with a real problem to solve. I don't care what age we're talking about. They're going to blow your mind in how they solve that problem.
Yeah, they really will. And the kids that you would least expect it are the ones that are going to come up with the most just ingenious solutions.
That's so true. Paul, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what is the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to a parting words of advice, I don't, but thank you very much for including me in the podcast. And I just hope all the listeners out there, if they're school leaders, I hope you have a great school year. I hope you're working a lot of fun and you continue to build the group capital in your buildings among your staff. Best way to get a hold of me would probably be via Twitter. It's at Principal Paul. That is also my name on Voxer, Principal Paul. So you're welcome to connect with me through those two means, as I'd love to connect with everybody out there.
We'll definitely link that up in the show notes too. Thanks again, Paul. Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Paul. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Paul in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop right up where you'll get the highlights of today's episodes, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. If you have an iPhone, tap on the cover art and the show notes page will magically appear. Paul, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
You bet. My honor, Daniel. Thank you.
Hey, Better Leaders. Thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.